Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this morning will be taken from the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, and I will be reading from verse 35 through verse 51. Again, that's the Gospel of John, John chapter 6. And we'll begin reading from verse 35. And we'll read then as follows in the name of our Lord. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank you again this morning for your word. We do pray once again this morning that you indeed would bring the message off of the page for us. Sanctify us in the truth, for your word is everlasting truth. Amen. One wonders where he should really preach from after an event like last night. And this text actually is the text for this calendar, according to our calendar, is the text for this Sunday, actually. And as I considered, my intentions were to preach from Ephesians, actually, this morning, and to preach a little bit about the new man and the old man and the contrast of that, and speak of what it means to walk really as a new person in Christ. But I think in light of the tragedy last night, and in case there's someone seated in the audience who arrived late, Max and Ashley's little girl died yesterday, little Camry died yesterday. And so that will probably tailor a lot of my message this morning. But Jesus, when he begins to speak unto these people who had gathered around him, brings to them something that is of vital importance for the human race to understand. You see, because the reality is that we do face death. As the people who walk and move and live in this world, death is ever present around us, whether it affects us deeply like it has just now in recent days, or if it's just a simple idea that our own death will be coming at some point, of which we have no idea what that day would be. And you see the idea then that the people around Jesus had in this particular context was this idea, well, how do we prolong life? How does one make sure that he can live out as many days as possible? And what Jesus brought to them earlier on in this sixth chapter was simply natural bread, which they were quite pleased to have, because if you eat natural bread, well, the whole thing that usually happens is that you gain a little nutrition, a little strength from that, and you get to live for another day. But Jesus didn't come to give us another day on this earth. And perhaps the death of a little one drives that point home more than anything that I could ever think of. Because you see, we measure time in according to the clock. So the clock dictates us very much, and the calendar as well. And we're always looking at that thing and making sure that we get all our little ducks in a row and everything's going just swimmingly for us as we live out our lives in this world. We plan, we schedule, and all along. It seems like vanity, doesn't it? Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing to plan and schedule and do all of those things. But this message of the scripture is not about a certain set of days or time. You see, the problem that we do and the problem that we bring into the scripture when we bring our own selfish understandings into it is we simply read our own existence into it, whatever it might be. And so we would look at the scripture and say, well, this is what you must do or must not do in accordance with it, and not recognize the one who is speaking. You see, this was the problem with the people of that day and that age, and it's the problem that you and I exist with today as well. Very often, we don't recognize the bread of life. We don't recognize the one who has come to give us life everlasting, who never tells us at any point in the scripture that our life in the here and now, as we know it, is going to be just perfect and rosy, but says actually you may suffer a little. But he says, even in your suffering, I speak to you as the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And that carries a great deal of weight with it. Jesus, over and over again in the Gospel of John, makes these I am statements. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. Here he says, I am the bread of life. And to this we must focus our attention, especially in light of little Camry's death. Because I don't know what else there is. There's no words that I could say as a pastor, as your pastor this morning, that could somehow alleviate your suffering or your pain. There's no words that I could possibly speak that would do anything for you at all, except to give you what the scripture says here, what Jesus says as he ministers unto the people around him. He says, you come to me and you're looking for the better life. You're looking for just a natural type of existence. But I've come to give you something that's far greater than that. I come to give you life. But not life simply as we know it, as walking and moving around within a human body that we have here, but life that goes on for all of eternity. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? That's a tremendous promise out of the scripture that is so hard for us to grasp. The people who were around Jesus at that time couldn't grasp his words. They couldn't understand what he was talking about. They struggled with this. What exactly does he mean? I am the bread that came down from heaven. What is all of this about? And all along, he's telling them, this is about life. You, as a human race, have experienced death, and you've experienced it in horrible ways because of the fall in the garden and because of your own sin. And this has begun to identify you now as people. Death identifies you, and you're always looking at this kind of thing. But I come to you now, and I come to bring you life. Not life as you might think it might be. And that's the hardest part. I completely can understand. How do we understand a life of 14 months or a life of 94 years? And how do we compare those things? Well, in our minds we say, that doesn't make any sense. It's not fair. But the scripture tells us clearly and plainly what Jesus is telling his disciples and the people around him and you this morning is, I am the bread of life. I am the one who has come now to bring you life eternally. And he says, all who will come to me I will never cast out. Notice what he says, and I'm just going to skip through these verses a little bit, but he says, and this is the Father's will in verse 39, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. You see, this is the promise of the scripture. These verses don't speak of predestination or none of that, so just get that out of your head. He's simply saying, these people who come to me, who believe in me, are my children, and they will not be cast out. Why? Because this is the will of the Father. What the Father wants is people to see the Son and believe on him. This is what John does all the way through his gospel. He continues to give us these accounts all the time. Look, here's the account of Jesus now walking with his disciples, feeding 5,000 people with natural bread, and all of these things that lead up to this. But listen to what he is saying here. It isn't about natural bread. This is not why I came. I came that you might have spiritual bread. Actually, that you might become a partaker of me. You see, we can't miss that. What Jesus tells the people who are gathered around him is, you now must become a partaker of me. And this we celebrate within the sacraments, within the Lord's Supper, and within holy baptism, where we bring our little ones and we consecrate them to the Lord as they come into the waters of baptism, and the promise is spoken over them as believers in God. And God receives those little ones. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the bread of life. All who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's nothing more precious in the church than the Word of God, which declares us these truths, and also the tangible sacraments that the Lord gives unto His church. As we come to partake of Him on the first Sunday of every month and receive His body and His blood. This is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. We confess that, right? Here He is. Here is the comfort for all ages. Here is the one who comes to comfort the little ones, to bring comfort to the older ones, to ease our pained hearts. Here is the one who can make sense of all of the things that are so nonsensical to us, that don't make any sense at all. Here He is, standing around all of these people who are looking for something from Him, and He tells them, I am the bread of life. What you need is me. It's not about the natural at all. You see, that's why we gather in church Sunday after Sunday. And you've heard me say that before. We don't come here to talk about the good life here and now. That's ridiculous. We come here to talk about the one who has given unto us eternal life. The one who's speaking to you this morning and saying, look to me, I am the bread of life. Do you believe in me? Trust in me. I have given unto you eternal life. This is what your Father wanted. I came down from heaven to purchase you and make you my own. Why? Because the Father loves you tremendously. And He loves little Camry. Why He took her already, I don't know. But He knows. You see, because He sees the beginning from the end. He doesn't measure time and span of months or years. And that's what it means to be united to the Son. Already when we are in the Son, we have eternal life residing in us. So it doesn't matter if I die tomorrow morning or 40 years from tomorrow morning. Nothing has really changed. I simply have now passed from this current world into the one that is to come because of the bread of life. You see, this is what is supposed to bring us comfort. But too often we murmur, don't we? Why, Lord? Why do these things happen? The Jews, they said, well, what's this all about? He says, I am the bread that came down from heaven. We know who He is. And Jesus says, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, the one who has seen the Father is now present with you. You see, this is an amazing account. God himself is walking among his people and telling them, I am what you need. I am the bread of life. I am the one who has come down from heaven. And I have come down from heaven so that I could give you life eternally. So that when you face death, you will always have this on the forefront of your mind. Yes, you will miss whoever it is that has passed on, but always in the forefront of your mind, you will know, that's right, Christ died for me. He has given me eternal life. He rose from the dead. And because he lives, I live as well. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Hey, maybe we can leave here with a little joy. Because of what the Word says. Are you believers this morning? Do you know this one who is the bread of life? And I know you do. I've heard the testimony from many of you. Well, then you have everlasting life. The only difference between Camry and you and I is that she actually sees it in all of its fullness. We just haven't got there yet. But it's coming. And when you know the bread of life, that day just can't come soon enough. I've often thought about John, you know, when John seen his visions on the Isle of Patmos and he closes out the book of Revelation and he says, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. You know, I may mouth those words, but then I'll probably add a little thing to them. Well, come quickly, but well, you know, wait about 40 years because I'd like to see all of my children growing up and all of this. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Why? Because he's all that there is. You see, the Christian church is built around this. The Christian church is built around this man. It is not built around precepts and rules and all of those things. That would never work. And so the man Jesus Christ comes down here and lives among us in order to give us what we could never attain by our own efforts, by our own strength, by our own willingness or trying to do these things. We could never get there. And so the Gospel of John tells you, so God took care of that for you. The law came by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And the church is now built around him. He is the very cornerstone, the chief cornerstone of the church. And everything that exists, that will exist, must be built on that cornerstone. Because if it's not, it'll crumble away and disappear. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. You see, there's perhaps no harder thing to explain or try to explain to people than these type of sayings. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus says in the 11th chapter. He that believeth on me shall never die. What? Could you say that again? I'm not sure if I got that. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus tells Martha. He that believeth on me, even though he were dead, yet shall he live. If a man eats of this bread, he will never die. There is no other religion in the world that says this. There's no other so-called God out there who does this. It is only the God of the universe, the Creator God, who lays down, as it were, his majesty and condescends to our level in order to purchase us and redeem us for himself. Who says through his Son, I am the bread of life. If you eat me, you will live. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. It is only in our union with Jesus Christ, because this is what he is speaking of, in your union with Jesus Christ, that you now have life. It is in nothing else. And this is what we must be turned to over and over and over again. It is in my union now with this man, with the one who went to the cross and gave his life for me and rose again, that I now have life. And it's not just any old kind of life. It is eternal life. And this is what he's telling them. You need to come to the end of your wrong thinking. You need to repent. You need to turn from your wrong perceptions and understandings of God. And you need to turn on to the one who has said to you, I am the bread of life. Because it is only in your union with him that you have life. It's only in that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, we don't perish. We who are believers do not perish. We cease to exist in this world, that's correct. But we don't perish. We just gain real life. Peter says it well, doesn't he? After Jesus had said all these words, and I don't have time to read them all this morning for you, but he asked the disciples, the 12 actually, who were still with him, because many people turned away from him at this point because they still didn't understand. And he says, will you also go away? And Simon Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words. Notice, of eternal life. You see, the message that I bring to you this morning is none other than the message of eternal life. Peter says, you have the words of eternal life. And notice, and we believe and are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the one who is the consolation and the comfort of Israel. You are the one who has come to give us everything that we need. You have come to give us eternal life. And even this morning already, we who are in union with Christ, who have been baptized into Christ, have eternal life. As I've often said, we don't see it now. You know, I can't see my eternal life. But this morning, by faith, I believe that I have it. Why? Because this man, Jesus Christ, who walked the face of this earth, who died on a center cross of Calvary, tells me in his word that if I believe in him, he will save me. He will give me life. And he tells me over and over in John, I am all of these things. I am the good shepherd, which means that he will take care of me. He will lead me in the ways of everlasting life. He will take care of all of my needs, whether I'm up on the mountain or way down in the valley somewhere mourning the loss of a loved one. He has not left me. And that's why all of these songs that we sing are just marvelous. Trusting in Jehovah, we are greatly blessed. Because we know the one who says, I am the bread of life. And there's nothing else that we need. You who feel the loss of Camry so deeply, as we all, there's nothing you need other than this. Camry's with the Lord. And you and I, who are partakers of the bread of life, are just simply waiting our turn. And when he takes us, people will be sad, but we sure won't be. Because we will see him. We will see him as he is. It'll no longer be by faith. It'll no longer be by the words of a preacher or by my own meditation on the word. But there he will be. And you know, for me, I can't wait. I've told my wife this before, but you know, when you preach about it all the time, over and over again, about Christ and his marvelous work and all of these things, I just can't wait till the day when I can actually run right into heaven, or however that works. You know, there's pearly gates. I don't know how all of that works. Well, wow, is it going to be amazing when I enter into the heavenly throne room. There is my Lord. And at that point, all pain will cease to exist. All worries will be over. All tears will be dried. And there we'll know eternal joy. A joy that's not fleeting. A joy that's not punctured by the death of little ones. But a joy that's eternal. because there we'll be with our Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, Father, that in spite of everything that we deal with in our lives and the pain, the suffering, the sorrow, the questions, you remain true. You remain gracious. And you continue to show us through your word that we are to simply trust you. For you, Father, know best. Your ways are so much higher than our ways. Your thoughts are way over the top of our thoughts. And so even this morning, as we conclude this service, conclude what we've been talking about this morning, O Father, may it be that indeed we would continue to have our eyes open to the reality of Jesus and what he has done for us, that we would recognize our union with him, that, Father, there's nothing then, even as Jesus would go on later to say in this same gospel, that is able to pluck us out of your hand. For indeed, he is the Creator. He is the Lord. You are the Creator. You are the Lord. And so when we are in your hand, we have nothing to fear. Well, Father, make this plain for all of us. Comfort us according to your word. Speak to our own hearts where the doubts would be, where the fears would be, and drive those things away. And help us to hear the gospel once again and leave even from this place equipped to continue to live our lives out for you and to comfort those who mourn. For truly, Father, this is why you have us here in the first place, so that we can minister to the others around us. So help us to do so. Be with Max and Ashley again, we pray for them, that you would comfort them by this gospel, by the words of life, so that they would know, Father, that even in their pain, in their sorrow, they would see you in all of your glory and all of your majesty and find the joy that seems to have fled away. So we ask all of this then for the sake of your Son and in his holy name. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.